He stormed out, slamming the door behind him. Toby lifted the bottle of whiskey, toasted the closed door with it, and drank straight from the bottle. He'd been expecting pressure, but nothing quite so blatant. Bloody Daniel Wolf and his ambitious super-bitch sister. She was the one behind the threats. Typical Wolfs. Thugs with pedigrees. A thought occurred to him, and he smiled nastily around his cigar. He turned back to the mixing console, and it took only a few moments searching to call up the footage he had in mind. He ran the shots in slow motion. Daniel and Stephanie together. Michael and Lily together. Smiles and glances and shared body space. Everyone with an eye on their head knew Michael and Lily were having it off. They'd been very careful not to say or do anything incriminating in public, but you only had to look at their body language to see the truth of how they felt about each other. He had it all on tape. They might as well have taken out peak time ads. Of course, Daniel and Stephanie hadn't noticed a thing, being rather more interested in each other. In fact, some of their quieter moments seemed to suggest that they might be a little closer in their affections than most brothers and sisters. Toby sniggered and beat a fast tattoo on the edge of the console with both hands. He couldn't say anything outright, of course, but a little carefully arranged footage should do the job for him, with both couples. People in society would catch up on it and start the word spreading. Before too long, the Wolfs would become a laughingstock, in and out of court. That would teach Daniel Bloody Wolf to burst in and act the heavy with poor little Toby Shrek. And that was when the door burst open again, and Cardinal James Kasser had his try at making a dramatic entrance, ruined by crashing straight into the chair that Toby had thoughtfully placed before the door after the last visit. Kasser kicked the chair aside and glared at Toby, who leaned back in his chair and gave the Cardinal his best innocent face. It didn't fool Kasser for a moment, but then it wasn't meant to.
I've had a communication from my superiors in the church, the gist of which was your live broadcast made both myself and the church look ridiculous because you didn't wait for me to get there. They went on for some time, but they were basically just repeating themselves. The word laughingstock was mentioned, along with recall and demotion. Listen carefully, you little toad. You are not going to ruin my career while furthering your own. From now on, I see everything you've got before it goes out. And if you do anything that might undermine my or the church's authority here, I will personally excommunicate you with a rusty saw. Is that clear?
Oh, perfectly. Couldn't be clearer.
Toby took a quick drink from his bottle.
I would offer you some whiskey, Cardinal, but I've only got the one bottle. I feel I should, at this stage, in all honesty, point out that I do have principles.
Mess with me again, and your principles will be going home in separate jars.
Kasser about-faced and marched out with extreme dignity, slamming the door behind him. Toby waited a cautious few seconds, and then gave the closed door the finger before getting up and jamming two small wedges under the bottom of the door. That should put an end to any more storming ins. He turned back to the console and leaned over the screens again. He knew just the bit of tape he wanted. A nice stretch of Cardinal Kasser drilling his church troops in the blistering summer heat, standing at his ease in the shade, while shouting and bullying and generally carrying on like the tight-ass little dictator he was. Toby grinned and bit down hard on his cigar. He wouldn't even have to sneak this past Kasser. The damn fool was so full of himself, he'd probably think it made him look good. Toby took another drink from his bottle and then put it firmly to one side. The uppers were rocketing through his system like ricocheting bullets, and he felt great. He caught up some footage of the trenches surrounding the factory, the circles of hell from which no man returned unchanged. Patch in some shots of the elite Jesuit commandos drilling the fanatical church troops, and then cut back to the wounded in the hospital tent. Toby rocked back and forth in his chair. Someone was banging on the door. The wedges would keep them out. Toby's fingers flowed over the keyboard. He was on a roll now. If the Wolves and the Cardinal and all the other bastards thought they could keep him from filing the story of his life, they were crazy. They could view the tape as often as they liked. It wouldn't make any difference. They'd probably never even heard of the palimpsest method. Record something on a tape, then record over it. Playback just shows the upper recording, but the right kind of machine will pick up the earlier recording, still there, underneath. The process hadn't been around long, but Toby had always believed in being up to the minute. There'd be a stink afterward, but interest in Technos 3 would be so high, the wolves wouldn't be able to censor him anymore. Toby Schreck laughed aloud and worked on into the early hours of the morning. A handful of rejects led Jack Random, Alexander Storm, and Ruby Journey down through a series of dimly lit corridors and tunnels far below the surface of Technos 3. The tunnels twisted and turned and branched endlessly, a dark maze of such complexity that any outsider would be helplessly lost in a few minutes. As always, he knew exactly where he was, but he didn't like to tell them and spoil their fun. So he strode along quite happily, Ruby at his side, Storm puffing along behind him. Random was getting a little worried about Storm. His old friend had been in the field with him for many years, fighting the Empire's best on more planets than either of them cared to remember. But they'd both known they were getting too old for it, even before they got their asses kicked so conclusively on Cold Rock. Since then, Random had been given a new lease on life, courtesy of the maze, and reveled in it. But Storm had been left behind, still growing older and slower. He hadn't taken the growing differences between him and Random at all well, but Random was at a loss what to do about it. Storm was doing good and valued work as an advisor and strategist, but it wasn't the same, and both of them knew it. So when Storm had insisted on coming along on this particular mission, just to stretch his legs, Random hadn't had the heart to say no.
"How many miles of these tunnels are there?"
said Storm, trying to keep the tiredness out of his voice, and failing.
"No one knows for sure,"
said Long Lankin 32. The ex-factory clone looked as thin and malnourished as ever. He found the going hard too, but like Storm, he refused to be left out of things, so the two of them had naturally gravitated together.
"The only maps are in the rejects' heads, and they only know part of the whole layout, so we're protected if any of us are captured. The rejects have been digging these tunnels for centuries now, repairing old ones and blasting out new tunnels, so the maps are always changing. Sometimes I feel I need a guide just to help me find the toilet in the early hours of the morning. The wolf security forces dig tunnels of their own, too, just to complicate things. Sometimes the excavating teams run into each other, and then all hell breaks loose. The war goes on down here as well. Tunnel rats clawing at each other in the darkness. The mercenaries don't last long in the tunnels. They can't take the constant darkness and claustrophobia. The pressure drives them crazy. The rejects, on the other hand, actually like it down here. The protective layers of stone and metal make them feel secure. Crazy bastards. No offense, people."
The 20 or so rejects walking with him smiled and nodded, not insulted. Alexander Storm summoned up enough breath for another question.
"How deep do these tunnels go? It feels like we've been descending for hours. Any further, and we'll need an express elevator to get back to the surface."
"The surface can do without us today,"
said Spectre Alice. She developed a fondness for Storm and attached herself to him whenever possible, to his clear distress. She was, after all, old and short and ugly, and her furs hadn't been washed since they were still on the animals that provided them. And there was madness in her eyes, right up front where everyone could see it. She smiled chummily at Storm and tried to take his hand. He avoided it with the dexterity of long practice. She wasn't put out.
"We're heading down to one of our main meeting chambers. Time, you saw, where the real decisions get made. Don't worry, we won't go down too far. Dangerous things live in the deep down. Creatures that have adapted to the depths in the dark, away from the weather and the war. Mostly, we don't disturb them and they don't massacre us. Don't worry, dear. You stick with old Spectre Alice. She'll keep you safe."
Storm smiled weakly, not feeling at all safe, and looked determinedly ahead in the hope of discouraging further conversation. Random had to hide a smile of his own. Storm had been something of a lady killer in his day. At his side, Ruby sighed heavily, and he turned his attention to her. She was scowling, her mouth turned down sullenly.
"I hate walking,"
Ruby said, apropos of nothing in particular.
"I'm a bounty hunter, not a health freak. Where are all these tunnel rats and deadly creatures? I could do with a little excitement. I didn't come to Technos 3 to be a tourist. When do I get to kill somebody?
I like her,
said Long Lankin 32.
She's got the right attitude.
They walked on and on. Storm had more and more trouble keeping up with the pace, even with Spectre Alice at his side to encourage him. Random felt guilty. He fell back to walk beside Storm, and wondered whether he did it out of friendship or pity.
Why did we ever come here? War is young man's work. We're too old for this, Jack. We should be sitting beside a fire in a tavern, telling outrageous stories of our youth. We've earned that. We spilled enough blood in enough battles. Why do we have to do it all again?
Because the war isn't over. We swore an oath, remember? We swore upon our blood and our honor that we would fight the Empire until either it fell or we did.
Young men swore that oath. Young men who knew nothing about war or politics or the reality of how the Empire works.
Are you saying you don't believe in the cause anymore?
Of course I still believe in the cause. I'm here, aren't I? I'm just saying it's time for someone else to carry the banner. Someone younger, who doesn't feel the cold in his bones, or wake up coughing his lungs up every morning. We've done our bit, and I'm too old to die on a strange world, beside strange people, fighting to free a few clones from a factory.
You'll get your second wind soon. You'll feel better then.
Don't bloody patronize me, Random.
They strode along in silence after that. Until the reject in the lead came to a sudden halt and raised a hand to stop those behind him. Everyone stood quietly together in the pool of the lantern's light, staring into the gloom ahead of them, listening carefully.
What is it? What's coming?
Well, tunnel rats. They have devices for detecting movement in nearby tunnels. They're close now. Brace yourselves.
And as suddenly as that, everyone had a weapon of some sort in their hands. Mostly swords and axes, with the occasional length of spiked chain. Random and Ruby moved automatically to stand together, swords at the ready, leaving Storm to fend for himself. He glared at their unresponsive backs and hefted his own sword uncertainly. The steady thudding grew nearer and nearer. Random's free hand hovered over the disruptor on his belt, but he didn't draw it. He didn't like to think what a ricocheting energy beam would do in these close quarters. He just hoped the wolf fighters had had the same thought. The wall to his right cracked apart suddenly, torn from floor to ceiling, and men in armored battle suits lurched out into the tunnel. They moved surprisingly quickly amid the whine of supporting servo mechanisms and tore into the massed group of rebels with massive axes and long swords that only powered armor could have wielded. The two sides clashed together, the rebels darting around and among the slower armored men, searching out their blind spots and weak points with flashing swords and axes. There wasn't much room for maneuver in the confined space. Instead, there was an endlessly shifting, boiling mass of bodies packed together, taking a stand just long enough for a solid blow before slipping away again. The slower and the unlucky cried out, and blood spurted in the thick air. And those who fell to be trampled underfoot rarely rose to fight again. Swords and axes bounced harmlessly away from the solid plates of the wolf armor, but there were weaker, vulnerable spots at joints and junctures, for those who knew where to look for them. But the armored men could take a dozen hits and press on unharmed, while a blow powered by their servo motors could cut clean through a reject's body. And there were far more armored men than rejects. One by one, the rebels fell, pushed farther and farther back down the tunnel. Three armored men were down, dispatched by blows to neck or eyes, but only three out of many. Still, the rejects fought on, determined and far from desperate. Their long adaptation to Technos 3's extremes had made them somewhat more than human, and they were much more used to the fighting conditions underground. They swarmed around the armored men, ducking and dodging blows with almost impossible speed, never letting up in their attack. And slowly, step by step, their retreat stopped. Right in the thick of it all, Ruby Journey braced herself and swung her sword with both hands. The blade powered around in a tight arc and sheared clean through a soldier's armored neck. The helmeted head bounced away across the sea of heaving shoulders before finally falling to the floor, the look of astonishment still clear on the bloody face. Random laughed and roared his approval. He brought his sword around in an arc, only to see the blade bounce harmlessly back from a suddenly raised armored arm. The impact jarred the sword right out of his hand, and it fell to disappear in the mass of heaving bodies. The wolf mercenary grinned and drew back his sword for a killing thrust. Ruby saw and cried out, but she was too far away to help. Raw fury blazed up inside Random, and he punched his opponent in the chest with all his strength. His bare fist hammered through the battle armor and plunged on into the man's chest. The wolf soldier screamed horribly as Random's fist closed around his heart and tore it out. Random held the still beating heart up in his hand, blood running down his arm, as he laughed victoriously. For a moment, the battle seemed to stop, everyone frozen where they were. And then it began again. Only this time, the rebels were forcing the soldiers back. Random and Ruby pressed forward and could not be stopped, and the rejects took new heart from their example. More of the armored men fell, screaming. Some turned to flee. There wasn't room in the packed space, and they just got in the way of their fellows. Spectre Alice crowed victoriously as she straddled the shoulders of a man in armor, leaning forward over him, her bloody dagger stabbing again and again through the eye holes of his helmet. In the end, not one wolf soldier got away. Their broken armored bodies littered the floor, stretching away down the tunnel. There were rebel dead, too, but not nearly so many. It seemed there was blood everywhere, running down the walls and pooled on the floor. Random and Ruby grinned at each other, and the rejects crowded around them to congratulate them and slap them on the back and shoulder. Random scrubbed happily at the blood on his hand and arm with a cloth, and had a nod and a smile for everyone, until his eyes met Storm's. His old friend had broken a little apart from the others. There was blood on his sword and his clothes, but little of it seemed to be his. He was breathing hard, and his sword trembled in his hand. He looked at Random as though he was a stranger. Random moved over to join him, but stopped some way short, held back by the coldness in Storm's eyes.
Who are you? The Jack Random I remember couldn't do things like that. Nothing human could.
I've been through changes. I'm more than I was. But I'm still me.
No, you're not. I don't know who you are anymore.
Storm turned away and walked off down the tunnel by himself. Random let him go, if only because there was a certain amount of truth in what his old friend had said. He could still feel the heart beating out the last of its life in his hand while he laughed. That wasn't like him. Not like him at all. The church troops, known collectively as the Faithful, were training together in the great open area between the factory complex and the first trench, and Toby, Shrek, and Flynn were there to cover it all. Absolutely no one was glad to see them there, but Toby and Flynn were used to that by now. Officially, the soldiers of the Church of Christ the Warrior and the Hardened Wolf Mercenaries were supposed to be one integrated fighting force by now, but both sides had centuries of tradition, not to mention white-hot enmity behind them. Consequently, what had been intended as an orchestrated set piece of hard drill and weapons training was rapidly deteriorating into a complete mess as the Faithful and the Mercs strode to outdo each other in sheer viciousness, if not skill. Cardinal Kasser was there in his black battle armor, topped with a billowing crimson cape, screaming orders and counter-orders till he was purple in what remained of his face. The color clashed with his outfit and warned of future heart problems, but no one felt like getting close enough to tell him. He cursed and yelled at the top of his parade ground voice, trying to force his men to behave through sheer force of personality. But not even the horrible punishments he was threatening were enough to restore order. The Mercs were damned if they were going to be shown up by a bunch of pansy hymn singers, and the church troops were determined to show a bunch of professional thugs what could be achieved by people trained in the one true faith. It was all getting very nasty, and not a little bloody. Cardinal Kasser stopped himself shouting with an effort, gritting his teeth to hold the words back. He knew Flynn's camera was covering him as well as his men, and he couldn't afford to be seen losing control. Everything else had gone wrong so far in this mission, but up till now, he'd always found someone else to blame it on. A public failure now could undermine the whole purpose of his mission to restore order on Technos 3, and just as important, do a hell of a lot of damage to his career prospects. So this particular display was going to go right, even if he had to start executing people at random to prove he was serious. Toby Schreck studied Kasser from a safe distance and smiled contentedly. He knew a man on the edge of apoplexy when he saw one. He also recognized a complete military cock-up when it was coming unraveled right in front of him. He hadn't seen such a complete mess since Valentine Wolf slipped a little something into a marching band's mid-time tea break just for a laugh. The tape of that particular event was a popular bestseller for over 6 months. Toby glanced quickly at his cameraman.
Tell me you're getting all this, Flynn. They couldn't be providing us a better show if they'd rehearsed it.
Relax, Chief. Billions of people all across the Empire are watching this live.
Toby grinned at the magic word live. His previous piece had already gone out to first-class ratings, the highest share Imperial News had ever achieved. Some stations were still running it and paying through the nose for the privilege. There had been talk of major awards for Toby and Flynn, and more importantly, large bonuses. The Wolves had gone into cardiac arrest when they first saw the piece, especially the Mother Beatrice bit, and screamed for their lawyers, but Stephanie and Daniel had somehow managed to transfer all the blame onto Valentine. They'd promised to make changes, but so far nothing significant had changed on Technos 3. The one really good thing to come out of the uproar was the Wolf's concession to Imperial News that Toby and Flynn would in the future be permitted to cover all important events live. There was a massive audience in the Empire, waiting impatiently to see what Toby and Flynn would come up with next. Which was, of course, their main problem. A good act needs a good encore. Toby, for one, had not expected anything good to come out of covering a program of drill and weapons training, but he'd had to agree for want of anything else to show. No one else would talk to him, now that he was being constantly shadowed by Wolf security, and his audience was getting impatient. Now he smiled contentedly as a bunch of the faithful brought down a bunch of mercenaries and gathered quickly around for a bit of putting the boot in. He should have had more faith in the ability of the Wolves and Cardinal Kasser to screw up everything they touched. He looked again at Flynn covering the chaos before him with practiced ease. The camera was currently hovering high above the confusion, with Flynn seeing everything it saw through his comm implant link. For all his faults, and he had many, Flynn was an excellent cameraman. Of course, he'd become unbearably cocky and insufferable since the amazing reception of the first broadcast. Toby was just glad the man hadn't turned up in a black basque and feather boa, like he'd threatened.
Heads up, Chief. Something wicked this way comes.
Toby looked around and winced inwardly as he saw Kasser striding determinedly toward them. He bowed formally to Kasser and gave him a smile so natural, he almost fooled himself.
Good morning, Cardinal. Isn't it a lovely day? I think the early autumn is the closest Technos 3 has to civilized weather. Until the razor storms start, of course. Now, how may we assist you?
You can start by turning that damned camera off until we've got things under control.
Sorry, Cardinal. Your superior's orders were quite specific. They wanted us to cover everything that happens here today.
Kasser snorted, but had enough sense to say nothing. He'd seen the orders. The Church had felt the need for a propaganda piece to back up its ongoing negotiations for increased influence at court, and Toby and Flynn and the Technos 3 faithful had seemed the safest bet for good ratings. They'd also hoped that a well-viewed piece showing the great skills and discipline of the Church troops might go some way to restoring the damage done by Toby and Flynn's previous piece. Kasser could have told them, but as usual, no one had asked him. His fists were clenched so tight he could feel the nails driving into his palms, but he made himself smile frostily at the two newsmen.
Of course. Make sure you get some good footage. But I want to see every inch of your tape before it gets broadcast. The Church has very kindly supplied me with new equipment, specifically designed to detect such things as palimpsests, or anything else you might try to sneak past me.
Confident that this time at least he'd got the last word, Kasser turned and stalked back to his milling troops, clearing his aching throat. Flynn watched him go.
You think we should have reminded him this is going out live?
Not our fault if he doesn't read his own orders carefully. I can't believe they made that idiot a cardinal.
Family connections.
Isn't it always? The man's a bully and a blowhard. Do even his own men like him?
Are you kidding? It's only the Jesuit commanders that have kept his men from slipping a fragmentation grenade into his toilet bowl. And even the Jesuits are getting pretty fed up with him. Still, he has his admirers in the hierarchy. After all, utter ruthlessness is what gets you on in the Church of Christ the Warrior.
Good point. Does Cassa ever go into battle alongside his troops, or is he strictly a rear echelon sheep botherer?
Give the man his due. He does like to be in the thick of things. I don't believe he's missed a single battle since he got here. Offer him a chance to kill as many people as he can get his hands on, and he's as happy as a clam.
Flynn paused and looked thoughtful.
Which is a strange expression when you think about it. Are clams renowned for being particularly happy?
Don't change the subject.
What was the subject?
I forget. Just keep filming. Things seem finally to be calming down, unfortunately. Maybe he threatened them all with mass crucifixions.
And that was when everything went to hell in a hurry. Explosions went off all around the drill area, blasting open the jagged metal plane. The noise was deafening. And black smoke billowed up, throwing everything into confusion. More explosions roared on all sides. Shrapnel flew in the air, and church troops and wolf mercs alike abandoned their discipline to run for cover. The black smoke filled the sky, blocking out the sun, so that an artificial twilight fell across the scene. There were fires blazing all over, and no one could make themselves heard. New openings had appeared in the metal plane, and rebels came boiling up out of the new tunnels they dug underneath. They fired energy guns they weren't supposed to have, and lobbed grenades in all directions. The mercenaries and the faithful tried to pull themselves together, but they were scattered and confused, and the rebels tore right through them. Steel flashed, and blood flew in the air, and pooled on the jagged metal ground. Toby Schreck watched it all, with his jaws somewhere down between his knees.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Flynn, tell me you're getting all this.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it. The light's lousy and there's smoke everywhere, but I'm getting it.
The Empire forces retreated in an utter rout, fighting here and there in small clumps, but mostly just running for their lives with their heads well down. Explosions were still going off, and there seemed no end to the army of rebels pouring up out of the hidden tunnels. Jesuit commandos were screaming at their men to stand and fight, but their words were lost in the chaos. Some rebels threw themselves at the Jesuits, and they reluctantly retreated, holding off the greater numbers with stunning swordplay. Cassar spun this way and that in the middle of everything, completely thrown, unable to think what to do for the best. The rebels streamed past him, pursuing the fleeing faithful and mercenaries. Some of the faithful had finally pulled themselves together and stopped to stand and fight, and the metal plane was quickly dotted with dueling figures. And that was when Toby Schreck recognized a familiar face. He grabbed Flynn by the shoulder and pointed urgently.
There! 3 o'clock! Do you know who that is? It's only Jack Bloody Random, the professional rebel himself. No one's seen him in action since the fiasco on Coal Rock. I didn't know he was on Technos 3. Did you know he was on Technos 3? Oh, who cares? Just keep filming. Jack Random's comeback, and we're covering it live. People have been awarded their own Holo Network chat shows for less.
The fact is, Jack Random, he's looking very good for his age.
Flynn concentrated on his camera's movements.
Vicious, too. He's cutting through that batch of mercs like Old Man Death himself. Who's that with him?
Don't know the old man.
Toby flinched reflexively as another explosion went off.
The woman's wearing a bounty hunter's leathers, but I don't know the face. We can run a trace later. You stick with Random. He's the story here.
Toby jumped back with a shriek as a rebel appeared out of nowhere right in front of him. His eyes were dark and blood dripped from his sword. Flynn yelled and called his camera back to hover protectively between him and the rebel. Toby realized there were just as many rebels running behind him as in front, and froze where he was. Flynn stood his ground. The rebel looked at Toby and Flynn, smiled, winked into the camera, and then disappeared back into the chaos. Apparently, even rebels understood the need for good publicity. Toby began to get his breathing back under control, and was very glad he decided to wear brown trousers that morning. Someone blew a whistle. Others took it up. And suddenly the rebels were breaking away from fights and pursuits and turned to fall back, disappearing down into the tunnels under the metal plane. They were all gone in a matter of a few minutes, blowing previously prepared charges to seal off the holes to their tunnels, leaving the faithful, the mercenaries, the Jesuit commandos, and Cardinal Kasser standing in a daze, looking around, and trying to figure out what the hell had just hit them. Smoke drifted in the air, and flames burned here and there from bodies hit by energy guns. There were dead everywhere. Hardly any rebels. They'd taken most of their wounded and dead with them. It all seemed very quiet. Kasser looked over at Flynn, still filming, and lurched toward him, his eyes wild.
You! Stop filming! And give me that tape, now!
Sorry, Cardinal.
Toby Schreck somehow kept an ecstatic grin off his face.
I'm afraid this has all been going out live, as your superiors insisted. Do you have any comment you care to make at this time?
Kasser raised his disruptor and blew the hovering camera out of midair. Flynn glared at him.